Let's turn to 2 Samuel 19. Then it was told Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourns for Absalom." And the victory that day was turned to mourning for all the people, for the king heard it said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." So the people went by stealth into the city that day, as people who are humiliated steal away when they flee in battle. And the king covered his face and cried out with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have covered with shame the faces of all your servants, who today have saved your lives and the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, by loving those who hate you and by hating those who love you. For you have shown today that princes and servants are nothing to you. For I know this day that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead to get today, then you would be pleased. Now therefore arise, go out and speak kindly to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, surely not a man will pass the night with you. And this will be worse for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth until now." So the king arose and sat in the gate when they told all the people, saying, "Behold, the king is sitting in the gate." Then all the people came before the king. Now Israel had fled each to his tent. And all the people were quarreling throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines, but now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. However, Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now then, why are you silent about bringing the king back?" Then King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the word of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? Are you my brothers? You are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? May God do so to me and more also, if you will not be commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab." Thus he turned the hearts of all the men of Judah as one man, so that they sent word to the king, saying, "Return, you and all your servants." The king then returned and came as far as the Jordan, and Judah came from Gilgal in order to meet the king, to bring the king across the Jordan. Then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, with Ziba, the servant in the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept crossing the ford to bring over the king's household and do what was good in his sight. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan. And he said to the king, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king came out from Jerusalem, so that the king should take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, and first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" David then said, "What do I have to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." Thus the king swore to him. Then Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had neither cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. And it was when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" So he answered, "O my lord, the king, my servant, deceived me, for your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame. Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate of their own table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, Why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided, you and Ziba shall divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come safely to his own house." Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he went on to the Jordan with the king to escort him over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Menahem, and he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, "You cross over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." But Barzillai said to the king, How long have I yet to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I distinguish between good and bad? Or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely cross over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant, Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king, and do for him what is good in your sight. And the king answered, Chimham, so cross over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight, and whatever you require of me, I will do for you. All the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah and also half the people of Israel accompanied the king. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why had our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over the Jordan? Then all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative to us. Why then are you angry about this matter? Have we eaten it at all at the king's expense, or has anything been taken for us? But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king. Therefore, we also have more claim on David than you. Why then do you treat us with contempt? Was it not our advice first to bring back our king? Yet the words of the men of Judah were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. Amen. So, quick background. So all this stuff happens. The king goes back, or he's actually on his way back, and it was a rite of passage that the people confirm the king in this regard. So he's waiting. And so Joab, remember, he first of all disobeys, and that's actually going to bite him at the end. And I know last week, kind of a difficult EMP to go through. But now Joab reproves David because of his lamentation. And he's crying, and all these things happening. Now, you have to understand the setting. Generally, when an army goes out to battle, they are welcomed back with singing, with dancing, with feasts, with all kinds of merriness and all these things. But now in this case, the king actually, he actually says he doesn't show his face, which is a sign of mourning, which is typically what you do if your army lost the battle. But they obviously won this battle, but David was obviously mourning for his son, but in mourning for his son, he was disgracing the armies that had come back. And Joab understands this, and he basically rebukes the king. Now, what Joab said was correct, and this is a kind of a really good lesson for us, and for a lot of us, especially that are very quick to speak. Joab's content was correct, but the way that he said it was incorrect. And in many ways, you can lose any outcome of what you want to be done by really of how you say what you say. I gave this message, I guess, ages ago about dealing with conflict and in all these different things. And one of the main points was that as a communicator, and this is in conflict with your spouse, we actually talk a lot about this in our premarital class. This is in conflict with other people, your colleagues or whatnot. Basically, somewhere along the way, when we talk about conflict resolution or even just good communication, you need to make a choice. Either you want to speak or you want to be heard. Don't ever forget that. You make a choice. Either you want to speak or you want to be heard. If you just want to speak, in other words, you got something on your chest and you just want to just let people know, by all means, say it any way you want to say it. Go ahead and just let it out. Just vomit on everybody, which a lot of times happens. So if you want to speak, go ahead. But now, if you want to be heard, it's a whole other matter altogether. Now, you say it with care. It's what Paul will later talk about is speak the truth in love. That when you do that, what you're doing is you want to be heard. You don't just want to speak. And you need to make that distinction somewhere. we're talking to people, when I look at my talk to my wife, I can talk to my wife in such a way that I'll just speak, just let everything out. It really doesn't do much. Or I can speak to her in a way that she hears what I have to say. This is really the art of communication. And Joab fails in this way. And like I said, that to the end actually bites him, especially his last words to Solomon pertaining to Joab. We get more of that. And it's important. I remember when I was being mentored, this is actually kind of a highlight, one of my highlights in pastoral ministry. I was being mentored by Jack Hayford, and that wasn't necessarily the highlight, even though that was awesome, you know, to go through that over 4 years. But in the midst of that, we're having this conversation, and I just said that, and I just turned and I said, I forgot what we're talking about, and I just made a comment to Dr. Hayford. I said, I think basically we just need to make a choice. Either you want to speak or you want to be heard. And I went through this whole talk that I just gave to you guys, but much, much more lengthily at that place. And I saw Jack turn and he started writing this on his pad, on his paper. You know, and I knew what it meant, and everyone else in the class, and all of a sudden, two of the guys who are sitting in front of me look back, and the guy sitting next to me kind of pat me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, that's going to be in his next book," you know, and this type of stuff. But that wasn't the part. It was afterwards, we had a break, and one of the guys came up to me, and, you know, prominent pastor, and he says, "Where did you get that idea from?" You know, it's like, and, you know, he was trying to say, like, is that some kind of, like, ancient Chinese secret? Even though I'm not Chinese, but, you know, whenever Caucasians see Asian people, they feel like we have this, like, hidden wisdom somewhere. And they're like, is this, like, some kind of ancient Chinese secret? And I said, no, I learned that from my wife. You know, I simply learned that just from years of arguing with my wife and trying to figure out how can I communicate better in this regard. And so I think this is a really, really good lesson. Now, again, what Joab had to say was truth, that David was disgracing his soldiers. And then they came back. They were losing heart. They should have been grateful for this great victory that they had given, and all he's lamenting is over his son, to the shame of all the soldiers that risked their life. I mean, how sad of a situation is that? In other words, David was being extremely selfish. He was looking after the affairs of his own emotions than the affairs of the kingdom. Isn't that what got David in trouble to begin with? Right? That he was more focused on some small matter and didn't take care of the matter of the people. And so, but it was the way that Joab said it to him. And what happened, that caused a bitterness in David's heart that, like I said, later becomes manifest. And so then David arose, and then he sat at the gate. He did what he was supposed to do. If David sat at the gate in the beginning, Absalom would have never had this uprising. So David goes back to being a king and being the rightful king and doing what he needs to do. And all the people came and told him he was sitting at the gate, and Israel fled to his tent, and all these things happened. And so now all the people are quarreling together about this happenstance. They're sitting there trying to figure out what to do. I mean, you can imagine you sided with Absalom, and now Absalom has died. And so they're trying to figure all this stuff out. But what perturbs David more than anything is his own people, the people of Judah, his own tribe. And Judah actually says nothing about this matter. So he sends the high priest to go and deal with his own tribe and, you know, all these things that are going on. It's a very, very good political move. And so Judah welcomes the king back. All these things happen. We see one after another. You know, Amasa comes to the king. Shimei, remember Shimei, this guy before? And remember when David was leaving Jerusalem and he was walking alongside on the cliff and he was throwing things, rocks at him and his people. He was cursing him. He was throwing dust at them. And so then he comes, now totally humiliated, and he bows before David and says, "Oh, please, this is verse 19. Let not my Lord consider me guilty." Dude, you are guilty. You know what I mean? I mean, you know this guy's just saving his skin, and it's just the mercy of David to allow him. You know, it's better to this person have said, "Do what you will," just like Mephibosheth does. Mephibosheth is also one of the ones that comes out. And remember, Ziba comes out with everybody, and he very strategically leaves Mephibosheth behind again. But now Mephibosheth somehow gets to this place, and he bows before, and it says that he has neither bathed, neither has he trimmed his beard. And, you know, the way that the Israelites did it was from their chin, from their upper lip all the way to their chin. So it's just kind of like around here, and then it would come down. And none of that. He didn't shave. He didn't do any of that stuff. And basically, he was in that place of mourning from the day the king left until the day, in fact, still to that day until he arrives. And he was a loyal subject. But David doesn't know who he can trust, and I think he just really gives a very, really unwise decision in that regard, because Ziba lied to the king. I mean, this guy was in it for his own gain and all this type of stuff, and so unfortunately they don't really know what's going on. But none of these guys get put to death. Then we're introduced to Barzillai, the Gileadite. And this guy was very gracious to King David, and all of these wonderful things happen. His graciousness extends in this way of saying, you know what, I'm just going to be a burden to you, but why don't you just take my son? And history shows that most likely Chimham actually was proprietor over the area of Bethlehem, where Jesus is born, and that was given to him in perpetuity, and according to some of the Jewish historians. And so he goes on his way, but now we see the seeds of discord between the tribes of Judah and the rest of Israel. And the rest of Israel asked the tribes of Judah, basically, why are you so slow in coming to, you know, this aid of the king? And they get into a huge argument and say these very harsh words. And unfortunately, that is going to happen when we get to Kings. Later on, after David dies, and that seed of disrespect and that seed of dishonor begins to spill out, and the devil kind of takes that over in their lives into this place. And so, let's close our eyes. We get to the good stuff's coming up soon. Well, let's go back to that. Dealing with communication. Are you one who speaks to speak? I'm sure that if we go to house church, we have a lot of people like that, right? They just talk all the time. Doesn't really matter what they say, they just talk all the time. The most important thing for them is to talk. So do we speak to speak? Or do we speak to be heard? That's when we say it in a different way. That's when we say it with grace. That's when we speak the truth in love. And how important is it for Christians, especially, to be able to speak in this way? To convince and woo non-believers into the cause of Christ. To talk to parties that are at war with each other to bring that word of peace. I mean, this plays out in every relationship that you have, especially with your spouse. Right? You can talk to your spouse in such a way that you just get what you want out, or you can speak to her in love, or him in love, in a way that she actually or he actually really hears what you have to say. It's a skill and it's an art. And it's something that we can ask Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us in. We say a prayer, Lord. Lord, just put a check in my spirit if I say anything that doesn't come out with love or something to that effect. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God for the skill and the art to be able to speak truth and love, to be able to convince people of our arguments and our ideas. I mean, we have the truth. What we need is to be able to express that truth in a way that people can hear and understand. And let's pray for God to bless our words in that way, that we speak truth and love. Right, that our heart is to want to be heard instead of simply want to speak. Well, let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are battling through cancer and going through chemo. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illness. So let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong today. And let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over the city. Pray for our government, particularly the elections coming up. Pray that God's will be done. Pray against the wealth gap. Pray for revival. Let's ask God to bless the churches all over. Pray for our friends here. Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. And let's continue to pray for Hong Kong students all over who may be contemplating suicide. Let's pray that God will intervene in their lives supernaturally. Let's pray for our staff, and let's ask God's hand to be upon us as we work hard for the Lord. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for a spirit of excellence and cover the families and their health and well-being. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, for welcoming barista. Let's pray for the Spirit of the Lord to lead them and to really continue to increase their ministry. Let's pray that they would be really an extension of God's grace when people walk into church. Let's pray for our worship and sound and AV teams. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and excellence in what they do. Let's pray that they would really lead us into the presence of the Lord every time. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Old Peak Road, Soho, Westville, and TST. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our discussions and our ministry. The significant ministry will take place with the people. Well, let's lift up. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for the speakers. Everyone's got their flights, and so it's already, we're just waiting for Bobby to confirm that he got his China visa. It should be happening any day. Let's pray for the congregation that we will receive and be ready to receive what God has for us. And let's pray for all the people who are organizing, the staff, and pray for the hotel and all the logistics, the bus rides, and all those little pieces to really come together as we prepare to encounter God. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you. Yeah, thank you this morning. God, we thank you again for the reminder in the scriptures, Lord, that even though we may have the truth, we may have the right message, God, Lord, it matters how we say it, God. It matters how it's presented. And help us to be people, God, that don't just want to speak. God, we don't just want to say things, God. We want to speak to be heard. God, we want our voice, God, to be effective, Lord, to save, God. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you'd send the Spirit into our lives that would teach us and guide us into the truth and be able to, the truth in expressing your truth in love, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.